Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
That's right. You better take that needle off the record or you're going to have to pay for your use of this. Of course, it depends on how you use it, but there is a fee attached to that very popular song, which according to the Guinness Book of World Records is the most recognizable tune in the world. Many of you may not know that one of the world's most recognizable songs is actually one of the most profitable. Happy Birthday to You has been around since the late 1800s, and due to copyright protections, anyone who wants to include that ditty in their movie, ringtone, or stage production has to pay for permission. Now there is a new case against the owners of the copyright, and an old songbook in Pitt's Hillman Library may be used as evidence. Here to tell us about that songbook and the future of Happy Birthday is Barco Law Library Interim Director Mark Silverman. Mark Silverman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Mark, let's start by having you explain who lays claim to the copyright for the Happy Birthday to You song and who has to pay to use it.
The Warner Chappell Music Publishing Company is claiming that they owned the copyright to the song. And technically, anybody who's using the song in a profit-making business, so that could be a restaurant or, as you said, certainly a movie or television show, they are responsible for paying licensing fees.
What sparked this whole thing? Was it the preponderance of certain chain restaurants on a birthday to come popping out of the kitchen with the cake and surprising the person and they're all singing happy birthday? Was that it? Did somebody say, get on the phone and go, you know, did you know that this is happening and that, you know, that you're losing money on this?
Well, for decades, a variety of music companies have owned the copyright and sold it to successor companies. And they've looked at this as a way of making money.
Right, but I guess what I'm asking is, why is this an issue recently?
Oh, what's happened is there's a movie, a documentary film that's being made about the song. And the filmmaker, a woman by the name of Jennifer Nelson, got hit up for a $1,500 licensing fee from Warner Chappell and just thought, you know, this song is part of our culture. She couldn't believe that she was being charged to use this. And
she thought it was in the public domain.
She thought it was in the public domain and decided that this is ridiculous and that she would file a lawsuit against the music company. And right now there is a lawsuit. It's been going on for 2 years out in federal district court out in California.
And so the two sides are putting their cases together. And one of the pieces of evidence that may be introduced has to do with a songbook that the University of Pittsburgh has in its possession. How has it become the smoking gun in this case?
The copyright law has changed over the years, but at the time that the copyrights were registered for this particular song, or actually sort of a companion song to this, back in 1893, two sisters, Patty Hill and Mildred Hill, wrote the song. Patty Hill was a school teacher and wrote it for use in her kindergarten class. They eventually sold the song to a music publishing company, but copyright was registered in the original song, not the lyrics to Happy Birthday, but
right. The song originally was a welcoming kids to school song.
Right. Good morning to you. And it was something that kids would sing to the teacher and the teacher would sing back to the kids. And eventually the melody to this song,
somebody else decided to take some lyrics and write Happy Birthday to the melody.
Right. It's not really clear how Happy Birthday evolved out of this song. But but anyway, the book that's at Pitt contains lyrics to both songs. And why this is important, back at that time, if you were going to publish something that could be covered by copyright law, you had to give notice. You had to tell the public that this was covered by copyright and that you can't use this. You need to ask for permission or to get a license to use this. And in this songbook, the lyrics are published without any copyright notice, which, according to the law at that time, would put it in the public domain, would basically say that anybody can use this without having to pay for it.
So the songbook is the proof of that?
Yes, it's one piece of proof.
And how did Pitt gain possession of the songbook?
Well, you know, that's a good question. We really don't know. Pitt owns two copies of this songbook, a 1916 edition, which was the very first edition of this songbook, and a 1927 edition. Because this was a textbook that was used in elementary school, in music class in elementary school, these types of things don't get kept. And Pitt has a wonderful collection. A stunning collection of elementary and high school textbooks going back probably into the 19th century. It's one of the few places where these textbooks are kept, where you can find them. I did a search to see how many copies of this book existed in public libraries and university libraries, and I was only able to locate four libraries that had any edition of this particular songbook.
We're talking with one of the members of the Hillman Library, the Barco Law Library interim director, Mark Silverman, about the controversy over the copyright protections for the song Happy Birthday to You, which are being disputed in a court case in which a book, as we've just described, at the Hillman Library at Pitt, is at the center of. And I'm curious what you think of all the attention Pitt is getting as a result of this case.
Well, it is interesting. Librarians, whether we're talking about public librarians, medical librarians, law librarians, they do incredible things day in and day out, things that mostly go unnoticed by the public, and oftentimes attention aren't called to these things. And you know, our role in this really is kind of as a footnote, but all of a sudden, literally across the country, people are you know, paying attention to this, and we're getting calls and requests to speak and things like that, and it's kind of interesting and kind of frustrating at the same time. Because we're, you know, really a lot of the important things that we do are going unnoticed, and something like this is putting us in the limelight.
But you'll take it, right?
Yeah, sure.
So we've got about 30 seconds left. What do you think that the outcome should be or will be in this case?
Well, it's really hard. What it will be is hard to predict. You know, we're talking about litigation, and it can always go either way. I think it should be recognized. Having looked into this in the last couple of days and spending quite a few hours on this, I think it should be part of the public domain. It's part of our culture. And legally, I think the evidence does prove that that it is in the public domain. But whether this will be the eventual outcome, who knows?
Mark Silverman is Barco Law Library interim director, joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Mark, thank you so much, and it'll be interesting to see how this turns out.
Thank you, Paul.
Fridays in August, Essential Pittsburgh will be taking a break starting next Friday, August 7th. Don't miss our back-to-school specials on education, teaching, and learning, airing at noon and 8 p.m. on Fridays. More online at WESA.FM. Until Monday, I'm Paul Guggenheimer, saying have a great weekend, everyone.